You know, we're living in very challenging days. You know, it seems that they're intent on getting God, the Bible, and prayer, and anything that has to do with God out of any public place, or trying to get it out of our lives, it seems like. But we indeed are living in challenging times. And you know, I've been quite concerned about some things. One thing is, I look across the landscape of the church, I find that many have allowed the power of God, the fire of God, to go out. But I want to tell you, this is not the hour that we need to hold back. This is not the hour to fold up. This is not the time to sit down and lose interest. But this is the time that we need to begin to stir up the fire of God. Paul wrote to Timothy in 1 Timothy 1:6. I remind you, fan the flame, the gift of God, which was put on you through the laying on of hands. The Holy Spirit in John says that it's the gift that's sent to us. And that Holy Spirit on the inside, that fire on the inside of us, according to 1:7, for we did not receive the spirit of timidity or fear, as some of them translated, but of the power and a love and a sound mind, or self-discipline. So we don't need to be ashamed of God and the power of God. You know, we need to see the fire of God in our lives, in our churches. You know, can you go to church and find the power of God? Or do you go to church and you hear a good little sermon about somebody telling you you can make it and it's going to be all right? And it is, as long as you have God in your life. You know, where can we find the power and the fire of God in these critical days? You know, we need to check up on ourselves sometimes. You know, how many of you have to have your automobile? How many of you have to have it checked up ever so often? Checkups ever so often. In fact, in the newer automobiles, it comes in right on your dash. It'll say so and so service B or service C checkup in this many miles. Anybody have that on their car? Yeah. Why is that so? So that car will be kept in perfect running condition. We need to check up on ourselves and see if the fire of God is still burning brightly on the inside of us. You know, in Numbers, the 16th chapter, 35th through the 48th verse, it talks about that they were grumbling against Moses and against what God had told Moses to tell the people to do. And so they were assembled together, and God said, I'm gonna take care of these people. And he sent a plague on them. But Aaron, the high priest, got the fire from off the altar, put it in a censer, and ran through the crowd. And when he ran through the crowd with the fire from off of the altar, he stood between the living and the dead. You see, we see here that the fire off the altar, when it was among the midst of the people, it stopped the plague. You know, do we have enough fire today to stop the plague that the devil is sending? Somebody said, well, I don't see any plagues. I don't think we got anything. Well, when is the last time that you were in the spirit of intercessory prayer for those that are lost and dying and going to a devil's hell? When was the last time that you spent time praying for those that needed deliverance from sickness and disease? You know, God has a heart for people, and we should have a heart to see people touched by the fire of God and their lives changed to the better. How many of you You have been touched by the fire of God and your life has been changed drastically. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. You know, we need to make sure that fire stays alive, doesn't go out. When I was a kid growing up, my grandpa at the farmhouse had a big old fireplace in the living room, and then they had the cooking stove in the kitchen, but the rest of the house didn't have no stoves in the rest of the house. Anybody mature enough to remember those days? I see a few people that are. In the wintertime, Grandpa was always conscious of not letting that fire go out. Because once it went out, you had to rekindle and you had to build it up all over again, and that took some time. Anytime it got down and there were just embers there, he stirred that thing up with one of those pokers, stir it up, then put some small kindling or sticks in there and they would get into flame. Then he would put some bigger logs on and bigger logs on. I mean, it's a huge fireplace. It wasn't like these little ones we got nowadays. How many of you have seen those big old fireplaces? I mean, huge, in those farmhouses. And he'd get a good roaring fire in there, and man, it would almost heat up the whole house. But he kept it going. We have to be careful that we don't let the things of our life, the pressures, everything that's going on in our lives, we have to be careful that it does not, that our fire doesn't go out. Hello. You know, are we willing to give what we have so that we can touch people's life and change them? Peter at the gate called Beautiful, he said, I don't have any money, man. But such as I have, I'm going to give you. What did he have? He had the fire and the power of God. And he reached down and he took that crippled man by the hand and he said, rise and walk in the name of Jesus. And the man began to leap and run because Peter had the fire of God inside of him and he is willing to share it with somebody else. We need the fire of God to fall in our midst in the church. We need the fire of God to be in our personal midst at all time. You know, we need to, if you go, like I said, you're going to have to fan the flame. You know, if you're trying to get a fire started and you're having trouble with it and you just got a little bitty glow and stuff there, you blow on it. How many know what I'm talking about? You ever try to start a campfire? I've done it before. You keep blowing on till you get it going. Hey, we need to fan the flame. Now, most of you people have never... a lot of us that are older have been there, but most of you have never seen a blacksmith shop where they would shoe the horses and make all kinds of instruments, farm instruments and plows and all kinds of stuff. They always had a big old furnace because they had to heat that metal up, but they would have a big old bellows and you squeeze that thing and it would blow air in there. And it would get that fire going. How many of you ever seen that? Yeah, some of you have. See, that's what we need to do. We need to keep that fire going. How do we fan the flame? How do we fan the flame so that we won't be timid and afraid? So that we won't become ashamed of the power of God? How do we do this? We do this by getting on our knees and beginning to pray. See, that's the way you do it. See, it says here, fan the flame, fan it. It says here in the Living Bible, stir up the flame. I like the Levi, it says, stir up the fire of the Holy Spirit, which God give you. Stir up, Amplified says, rekindle the embers, fan the flame, keep it burning. Amen. See, we cannot allow the gift of God in us to burn cold, to go dormant. It has to stay alive. The fire of yesterday will not handle the problem of today. The fire that you had yesterday took care of that day. But the fire of the power of God that you have today will take care of you this day. Too many people are trying to rely on yesterday's blessing to get them through, and it's not going to work. It's each day at a time. See, if we don't keep the fire burning, we will die in the smoke. And in my ordination service in 1967, Reverend T.F. Zimmerman was preaching, and I will never forget the thing he said to us young ministers that were being ordained. I was, 27 years old, I think. And I never will forget this, and that's where I got that statement. He said, if we don't keep the fire of God alive in every generation, we will die in the smoke. Have you ever noticed when a fire starts going out, it gets down low, it begins to smoke? If you don't keep the fire alive, we'll die in the smoke. Let me tell you something. The fire of yesteryear is not good for today. If you're putting firewood in a fireplace, you can't burn yesterday's wood. It's all used up. You got to get new wood. If you're going to keep the fire going, you've got to continue to get in the Word of God and read the Word. You got to get on your knees and begin to pray. Or how I like to walk and pray. However, everybody say get on your knees. Some people can't even get on their knees. You don't have to get on your knees to pray. All that does is show a reverence to God. But I like to walk and pray. And if you ever come here when we have a prayer meeting, you see me, well, I walk all around this church praying. I like to walk and pray. But pray. If you're going to keep the fire alive, you got to pray. You know what? If you got a long drive to make, you can pray while you're in the car driving. Especially if there's nobody else in there with you, you just pray, you know. You can pray out loud. If you're standing at a machine working on a job, you can pray silently while you're working on that machine, working, doing your work. Hello? You keep stirred up with the power of God. You know, the power of God. See, it says in 2 Chronicles 7, when Solomon was dedicating the temple, it said when Solomon finished praying, fire came down. When he finished praying, fire came down. The glory of God came down. Some people want to see the glory of God. Well, how much praying you done? How much wood have you put on your fire? What do you mean? How much of the Word have you put down inside of you? That keeps your fire going. See, and it said that the fire fell, the power, the glory of the Lord filled the temple, and the priests could not enter the temple because of the glory of the Lord. It says, when the Israelites saw the fire coming down and the glory of the Lord from above, they knelt down with their face to the ground, showing reverence. And they said, He is good, and His love endures forever. I want you to notice, though, that nothing happened until prayer. And I've noticed that when we have prayer meetings sometimes, that there'll be some of the people praying, but some of the people be sitting there reading the Bible. We didn't call a reading the Bible session. We called a prayer meeting. Come on. It's great to read your Bible, and you need to do that. But if it's a prayer meeting, then let's pray. It's praying. The fire came with the prayer. On the day of Pentecost, when they were in the upper room, I want you to notice that they were up there praying and praising God. Right? And then it says that the wind blew and the fire came and they were all filled with the Spirit. And they continued to keep that fire going by having prayer meetings. When Peter was in prison, they got together and had a prayer meeting. And the power of God got involved and sent an angel down. And it went into the jail and said, come on, Peter, let's get out of here. And they walked out, walked right by the guards. They walked right out of the place, the gate opened for them. Hello, prayer. You want to keep the fire of God going in your life? You want to keep the fire of God going in our church? Then let's pray. Let's read the Bible at reading Bible time. Let's pray at prayer time. See, we must have the fire of God to fall in our midst and burn out the trash that's in our lives. Let me tell you something. Somebody said, well, that's not politically correct. You know, let me tell you what. I'm not interested in being politically correct. I'm interested in being biblically correct. Somebody said, well, that's not very respectable. Let me tell you what. I'm not interested in respectability. Now, I'm not interested in people being crazy either, okay? Now, you can take this and go over here and be stupid, or you can take it and understand what you're talking about. And that's being in line with God's word and doing what God said. Hello. Because all the respectability in the world is not going to get my needs met. But when I come in line with God's word and what God said in his word, it's going to meet my need. Anybody getting anything out of this? I told you I was stirred up this morning. I'm stirred up about the fact that we need to quit being lulled to sleep in the devil's cradle of self-complacency. Thank God for all that he's done for us. We all are a whole lot better off than we were last year. Or 5 years. How many of you are a whole lot better off than you were 5 years ago? And it's all because of God and the power of God. Hello? But if we want to stay that way, we got to stay with God and the things of God. God said it, I believe it, that settles it. I'm stirred up about the fact that we're getting too comfortable. When I was growing up, you know what drove people to their knees? All the men were either in Europe or Asia fighting. And the ladies had, and some of you are old enough, I know them, the ladies went to the factories, and every automobile factory shut down building automobiles and started building planes and tanks and stuff for war. And if we hadn't got involved, we'd either be speaking Japanese or German, one of the two. If you'll look around, you'll find out that there are a few 41 cars available, but you don't see no 42, 43, 44, or 45 cars. You see a 46. Come on. You know why? Because they wasn't building no cars. They're building Jeeps and stuff. But I want to tell you what. Those were hard times. And it sent people to their knees praying. Anybody old enough for me to remember that with me? Anybody else in here old enough to remember that? It sent people to their knees in hard times. For you modern day people, I want you to remember whenever those towers were struck in New York City, people went to the church and began to pray. The liberals and the conservatives held arm in arm on the Capitol steps and saying, God bless America. On the Wednesday night after that happened, we had to open the balcony. In hard times, people know where to go. Let's don't wait to hard times. Let's just stay there. See, I thank God for all the comfort that I have today. I know what it is not to be in comfort. But Paul, the Apostle Paul said, I've been in need. I've needed this. I've been there. I've been hungry and so forth. But he said, God always gives me the victory. Hey, we all have been in hard times, but God will always give you the victory if you keep the fire of God on the burning on the inside of you. Come on now. We need to stir ourselves up. We need the fire of God to burn so brightly in us that we'll be like the burning bush. We won't be consumed, but people will step aside and turn aside to say, hey, what is different about you? And that gives you an opportunity to tell them about the saving power of the Lord Jesus Christ. Somebody said, well, Pastor, you're getting excited this morning. Yeah, I'm excited about the fact that we need to get back to where God has us to be, and that's to be excited about Him and about the things of God. Come on now. We need to get to the point that we're not afraid to allow the power of God to be in demonstration. I'm not talking about junk. I'm not talking about worked up superficial stuff. And anytime you have the real move of power of God, you're going to have some of those. But, hey, don't worry about that. Come on now. My dad used to say, I'd rather have people with the fire of God in them and a little bit of nonsense going on than to have people that don't have the fire of God and I'm trying to build a fire under them. Did you ever notice it's a lot easier to correct people that are motivated than it is to get people motivated to do something? Anybody ever realize that? It's a lot easier to correct people that are on fire for God than it is to get people motivated by the power and the fire of God. Hallelujah. I tell you what, we need to get to the point that we're not ashamed to tell people about Jesus. To tell people about what the power of God has done in your life. Don't talk about somebody else. Don't give them you can give them a few scripture, but tell them, see, have enough fire on the inside of you to tell them how God changed you, what God has done for you. Come on. Anybody here God done anything for? Oh, yeah. All of us. Let's stir ourselves up. Let's stir ourselves up so that we have that power and we're ready. Peter said, be ready to always give a testimony for the power of God. I paraphrased it in my own words. Excuse me. Let us today, as we leave this place today, let us leave with the thought in mind, I am never going to let the fire of God go out in my life. And I'm going to, you see, the fire of God doesn't stay in this church building. You are the temple of the Holy Spirit. This is not the temple. But when we all come together in the place that we call our worship center, when we all come in here, with the power, with the fire of God inside of us, then we bring the fire of God into our temple, into this temple. Hello. So let's go. The worship is over. There's a sign on that door right there. Any of you ever read it? It said the worship is over. The service is just beginning. That's where you need the power of God, on your job, in your lives, at school, wherever you're at. That's where you need the fire of God inside of you. I'm not talking about being crazy on the job. I'm talking about just having the fire of God inside of you. It'll give you ideas. It'll tell, when they ask you some questions, it'll give you answers that nobody else can answer. You see, Daniel could give the answer to the king's dreams. Joseph could give the answer to Pharaoh's dreams because of the power and the fire of God. Let it burn inside of you. Let us be filled with the power and walk in the power, and let the fire of God be the part of our lives that leads us and guides us and directs us to victory. And we will never see the bad days, but we'll enjoy all the good days because of the fire and the power of God that resides inside of us. Will give us the strength to walk over every obstacle. Will give us the power to run through every wall. Will rise up above of the ever mountain that rises in front of us, and we will see the victory, and you will see what God has for you if you'll keep the power and the fire of God alive in your life. Hallelujah to Jesus. And that wasn't in the notes. I'm going to have them type that up, see what I really said. Praise God, that was the Holy Spirit. We need the fire of God to stir us up, to burn brightly in our lives, so that we can be all we can be for God. Heavenly Father, I've talked to these people for a few moments this morning to stir up their hearts and to stir up their minds to once again realize that it's the fire and the power of God that gives them the victory. Thank you, Father, that every one of us will take heed to the message that was given today. And may we make any adjustments that need to be made. I thank you for it in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Hallelujah to Jesus. Praise God. Well, would you bow your heads for me in just a moment? I know I preach about the power and the fire of God. But you see, unless you know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you can never experience that. So if you're here and you do not know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, I want you to know Him before you leave. If you're here and you know what it is to experience that power and that fire, but you know that you need to rededicate your life, I want to pray for you. Anybody, any of those two invitations, let me see your hand. I want to pray with you, and I want to pray for you just like I said. You need Christ, or you need to rededicate yourself. You realize that you have slipped away and that fire no longer is there. Let me see your hand upstairs, downstairs, anywhere in this room. I want to pray with you now. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. Everybody stand, please. Thank you, Jesus. I want everybody in this place to close your eyes, even the ushers. I don't want anybody looking around. But you would say, Pastor, I'm born again. I'm filled of the Spirit. But I realize that fire is not burning in me as bright as it should be. And I want to go on record before God today as saying that I am going to rededicate myself to following after Him with that fire in my life. Let me see your hand in the place right now. Let me see your hand all over this place. Hallelujah. Glory. You're not lifting your hand to me. You're lifting your hand to God. Heavenly Father, I thank you for each of these that have raised their hands. Father, they are saying that they realize they've let the power and the fire go just a little bit. and they want to stir them up and stir up that fire and stir up those embers. They still have the Holy Spirit, but they just not where they should be with the Holy Spirit right now. I thank you for ministering in their lives, and I thank you that that fire will begin to burn bright in their lives again in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Everybody raise your hands and praise the Lord. Thank God for the fire of God. Thank God for the anointing of the power of God that will be in our lives if we'll follow him. Thank you, Jesus. Well, did anybody get anything out of this morning? I'm stirred up to the fact that we need to stir up the power of God in our lives. Amen.